COVID hit. After that, I got made homeless. I snapped my ankle in half, and that's when things really hit.
Will Fraser-Coon, founder of the Adventure Athletes coaching platform and host of the Adventure Athletes podcast.
Everyone's got a call to adventure. Something big that happens that can be the start of their journey, the thing that changes their life. They were like, yeah, we recommend Couch to 5K. I've done ultra marathons without training. And I got humbled on the first run, and it led me into this really dark depression. Is there really nothing in my life that's making me want to live? This is my moment to change my life. I have to change my life. No one's going to do it for me. And I'd been thinking about those quotes of Hercules. That's it. I need that challenge.
Welcome to the Rockman Podcast, the podcast for those with a deep desire to test and further their limits and live healthier lives with mental fortitude. Hear inspirational stories and get lessons in resilience from those who have conquered the world's toughest challenges in running, adventure, and life. I'm Terry Rosamond, Rockman founder, and in today's episode, we discuss the significance of purpose, the consequences of purposelessness, and finding your purpose. Viewer warning, this episode contains discussion about depression, suicidal thoughts, and sensitive mental health topics. If you or someone you know is struggling, please seek help from a trusted friend, family member, or mental health professional. If you want to stay up to date with new podcast releases and help us grow, be sure to hit the subscribe button below. And if you take any value from this podcast whatsoever, please give us the thumbs up, leave us a comment or a review below. I read them all, so please check it out. Remember, this podcast is brought to you by Rockman, the ultimate running challenge platform. At Rockman, we offer free weekly running challenges inspired by the world's most infamous fitness tests to test your limits and help you build your mental resilience around your everyday life without restriction. There's no fixed schedules, there's no far-off travel, there's no extortionate entry fees. All you need is a pair of running shoes and to remember where you live. So if you're craving a different kind of challenge, or if you're suffering the strain of a lack of time and motivation, Rockman is the answer for you. You can get started right now for free by clicking the link in the show notes below. Today, I'm pleased to introduce our guest, the founder of Adventure Athletes, a coaching platform catered to adventure enthusiasts, covering everything from trail running to rock climbing. But what's really caught the attention of the local endurance community is their podcast. Through insightful interviews with notable figures in adventure sports, myself included, they've cultivated a growing community by diving deep into the stories and motivations. This year, they have their sights set on a world record attempt, a testament to their ambition and dedication to pushing boundaries in the adventure realm. So without further ado, let's explore their journey and aspirations in the world of adventure sports. Welcome, Mr. Will Fraser-Coon. Stuck right into this, Will.
Okay.
First off, before we find out who you are, what is an adventure athlete?
Now, I ask myself this question every single day. Genuinely, I'm always trying to reflect on what I consider an adventure athlete. And I've been down the route of being like, oh, someone that does these incredible feats, they push themselves to their absolute limits. They're out climbing Everest in fire kit, as one of my guests is doing currently. They're getting like doing Penavan 10 times in 10 hours and like all sorts of stuff. And I'm like, but really, like, what is it? Like, what is different about these people? And for me, it's just about someone that's trying to create a difference within themselves to benefit others. Like, that is the solid motivation that I see behind every single person that I have on my podcast. And that's where I'm going with it. So you don't have to be doing something crazy to be an adventure athlete. You just have to recognize that there's things within yourself that you can change that's going to have an overall benefit to the world around you.
I like that. It's like an athlete with purpose.
Yeah.
But not purpose for just them, but for the people around them as well.
Yeah. And this all sort of comes from, I used to be a free runner competitively. I'd travel around, go to all these different competitions, travel the world to like just go and train with as many people as I could. And the old school mentality of it, it's in French, it's être forte pour être utile. I've probably like butchered pronunciation, But essentially what that means is be strong to be useful. And that's something that really resonated with me when I was younger. And I wasn't a strong individual. I couldn't go up to the ice cream man and ask him for an ice cream. I had to get my parents to do it. I wouldn't go into shops and talk to the shopkeeper. I'd have to either buy stuff online or get my parents to go in and buy stuff for me. So to then have that and be training physically and have a really strong motto and sense behind it of being like, if something happens, I know that I need to be strong enough to deal with it in any situation. So I think that's where this whole journey sort of started for me.
So what is the Adventure Athletes then? You've co-founded this coaching, is it a coaching platform, right? What is it then? It's a bit of everything, is it? It is really a bit of everything.
So I do a lot of personal training, so that builds into the brand. The client that I was training this morning, Ellie, she signed up with me because she wants to climb Kilimanjaro. And I'm like, amazing, like, you've come to the right guy. She was like, yeah, I've looked for PTs for ages and I haven't found anyone that does stuff like you. So to have you on my doorstep, like, it's just like timing was perfect for her. So we're training for that. We're going to be doing the Three Peaks later this year as like a bit of a warm up. So yeah, we got the PT side of things. I also do like sports massage stuff as well. Not many people really know about that. But again, that's to help people that are pushing themselves, especially if they've got an event on. I'd love to go to like more events and help people through their own personal challenges, support them in a different way. But alongside that, like all of the fitness side of things, I'm trying to set up my first race. So that's been quite a challenge in itself. I'm also looking at doing something similar to Rockman, where I'm going to try and do a virtual challenge series based around like the story of Hercules. So yeah, like it is just a big mishmash of everything, as well as the podcast, as you've mentioned. So
yeah. Yeah. So tell me more about the podcast. That I think that is what has made people take notice of your brand and yourself, is because you were telling me you've done 50 podcasts in a year, which is an incredible feat in itself. And did you know that only 1% of podcasts ever go past the 20th episode? So already you've put yourself in the top 1% of podcasts in the world. So tell me a bit more about that. What are you trying to achieve with the podcast? Who are you getting on?
It started off, like you said, I co-founded it. So it wasn't just me that founded it. It was me and my friend Taylor. Now, this was like a really odd way for things to start. But I, like, we'll obviously go more into my personal story in a bit. But essentially, I set out to do 12 really hard challenges after going through a phase of depression. And to get out of that, like, I was like, I need support, I need help. It was the first time I ever asked for help in my life. And I was like, I don't know who to go to get like these challenges done. And I was like looking at like Ross Edgley, and I'm like, he's not gonna bloody help me, like he's too famous for me. But I was reaching out to loads of people, and I followed a climbing gym on Instagram that's in Cardiff. And it's called Flashpoint. And on their Instagram story, they posted something from someone who was just out climbing at them. And they reshared his story being like, he's gone from doing a challenge to then rebuilding a base in something else. And I was like, oh, what challenge has he done? And it just flipped a tire at Penavan. And I was just like, what? Like, there's someone local to me that's pushing themselves to the limits that I want to push myself to. So I just reached out to him on Instagram. I was like, look, let's meet up at the climbing gym. We'll have a session together, get talking. I met up. I was asking him 101 questions, being like, how do you set these challenges? What makes them interesting for you? How do you get sponsorship? How do you do fundraising? Like, I had no ideas on any of this. I just wanted to push myself really hard. And then he was like, yeah, let's have another chat. So then we met up again. We went to Ninja Warrior in Cardiff, as you do. And we was talking about stuff. And I was like, look, I think we need to start a business together and start a podcast. I think it'd be amazing, just us two like chatting and getting guests on. And he was like, yeah, let's plan it a bit. I'll come around yours on the weekend. We'll sit down, we'll put a proper plan together, like a business plan, everything. And I was like, yeah, yeah, okay. I went home, I ordered all of the podcast stuff straight away. And he got round mine and I'd set everything up. And I was like, yeah, we're going to record 3 podcasts today. And it just started from there. And I was like, I'm committing to doing a weekly episode for a year. And if it's not gone anywhere after a year, that's fine. I can stop there, just call it a dead end. But at least I know I've tried and given it a good go. Following on from what you said about being the top 1% getting past 20 episodes, I was like, you never know if it's going to kick off until you've given it a really good go. And a year to me is a really good go. You sort of know after a year whether something's working or not. But up until a year, you have no idea if what you're doing could be something incredible. So I committed to that. And he did it with me for the first like 19 episodes, I want to say. And he didn't make that 20 episode mark. He stopped.
He's not in the 1%.
Yeah.
Not in the 1%.
He stopped coming, which then put a lot more pressure on me to do everything in the business. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I really wanted to quit after 6 months. I was like, I feel like I'm just hitting my head against a brick wall. I'm having amazing guests on, but I'm not getting the views. I'm struggling to book more guests on. And then I had Rhys Jenkins on, and that just changed everything for me. Like, still not hitting great views, but just seeing that fire within him and being like, that's someone I can relate to. Like, I want to be more like him. And then from him, like, I've met you. I've met Nathan, who runs the Just Run podcast. I've met Bob Thomas. And like, from meeting you three, that's then snowballed to meeting tons of other people. And I'm like, okay, like, this is it. And not in the sense that I'm getting views. I don't earn any money from doing like the podcast or anything. If anything, it's like, it's a massive cost to me. But the value that I'm getting from it for myself is more than I ever imagined. But then something that stuck with me, I had a meeting with Jeff from Big Moose earlier this year, the charity in Cardiff that I'm fundraising for. And he said to me, the podcast isn't about you anymore. Like, you're getting value from it. What you need to realize is if you're getting value from it, imagine how valuable that could be to other people. So you need to get it out there more. Like, it is your duty to share this about as much as you can. And that just, again, lit that second fire in me. And I was like, oh, wow, like, this is more than me now. And the amount of people that I have reaching out to me just randomly being like, that podcast has changed my outlook on what I'm doing with myself. They're like, I listen every single week. Like, I do not miss an episode because it's just so inspiring just seeing people that you think are these amazing, incredible people, because they're doing these incredible things. And when you get into it, they are just a person. And you sort of forget that sometimes. You think there's something special about them. But then when you hear their story, it's like, no, they are like everyone else.
Yeah, man. Do you know what? It's all comes down to the reason why you're doing things, and it's the purpose behind it. Because, you know, like yourself, I said earlier that, you know, I recognize myself in you. I'm in a very similar position. You know, I've got this brand, which I hope to make a big impact on people's lives. And it's focused around encouraging people to push their limits, encouraging people to further their limits. But it's hard. It's a grind. I've been doing this for 4 years now, you know, and you, in your head, like, you expect it to become this big brand, you know, after a year or two, and you're like, oh, this is fantastic. You know, it's going to be the business and the brand that I hope it will be, but it's a grind, and it's not. And you've really got to show up every single day. And if you don't love what you're doing, if you don't take incredible value or see the incredible purpose in what you're doing, it's going to be harder to keep going. Increase your chances of stopping and quitting and throwing it all away. So it's so important that it's because it doesn't matter about the views. It doesn't matter about the clicks and the signups, because when you start, you ain't getting them. So what are you relying on to sort of give you that dopamine kick? What are you looking for? And it's exactly right what you're saying. It's the purpose. Why? It's the, and it's in relation to other people. With that quote you said earlier, the Latin quote, was it "be strong to be useful"?
Yeah.
And I love that quote, because a lot of people often say, you know, how do you find your purpose? How do you find your purpose? Well, purpose is in relation to other people. It's either supporting other people, helping other people, or hierarchically, is that a word? That has to be a word. Where do you fit in the, exactly, it is now. Where do you fit in the hierarchy in relation to other people? If you can find a reason that sort of hits that, you're either supporting or helping people, or helping to sort of improve your position around people, you will find a deep purpose, and it will give you the fire to keep going. You mentioned your 12 labors. Do you want to give us a breakdown of these 12 labors and what they are, what inspired them, and then maybe tell us the story about sort of what led you to go down this path of setting yourself 12 incredible epic challenges?
Okay. I'll start with like the back context, build up into the 12 labors, and then I might give you a sneak preview of what I'm planning for some of them as well.
Oh, a hot exclusive, a Rockman exclusive. I like it.
So, like I said, I used to do free running. I built into this like personal value of being strong to be useful. And I had this idea in my head that I could be fit enough to help society in some way. And I had no idea how I was going to do it. And then in 2018, I saw that my local fire station was hiring. So I was like, that's it. Like, that is the perfect embodiment of my values of being strong to be useful. Like, you need to be strong, you need to be fit, you need to be able to be mentally resilient to be a firefighter, and it's helping your community. Like, there is no like two ways about it. That is what it is. And I was like, that is perfect. And I feel like my attitude really reflected in my training for the fire service, because every course I went on, I came out top of the course, and I was getting comments from the instructors being like, I can see you doing really well in the fire service. You could be like one of like your watch managers. You could be going up. And to have them say that on like my first course, like I did a 2-week course, and they're like, I can picture you being a watch manager someday. It's like, how can they like see that within you already? And that was just my attitude. I was out there giving absolutely everything to it, because I had that purpose behind what I was doing, like you're saying, in relation to other people. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about me proving that I'm better than anyone else there. It was like, how am I going to provide the most service for my community? So I went through all my courses like that, just absolutely working my butt off to get there. A funny story with that is, on my 2-week initial course, so I've signed up, I've got through, done, like spent 6 months going through the application process and each stage of recruitment, finally get round to getting in, doing my first 2-week course, loads of other people on the course. My main job is a gymnastics coach, so I work evenings and weekends. Everyone else has taken like 2 weeks off of work to do this course. I'm like, I still need to go to work afterwards. So I was doing 9 to 5, getting absolutely beasted, going straight to work from there, like no eating, nothing. Like, I might have like a snack in my bag, but then I was coaching from as soon as I got there. So probably like 5, half 5 till 9 p.m. I then have to go home. So that's another 30 minutes. So I'm getting home at 9:30. You get given this big folder of things you have to learn for the theory test at the end of the 2 weeks. So then I'm then at home studying, and then I'm going to bed at like 11 o'clock after studying for 1.5 hours, getting up the next day and repeating that. And then weekends, I'm still then going to work, bit easier, but like non-stop still. Everyone else is like going home. They're like, oh, the missus made me tea last night, sat down, did about 1 hour of studying. And I'm like, you guys have got it so lucky, like being able to do that. And everyone was like, oh, we've signed up for the Cardiff half at the end of this. I was like, oh, I've signed up, but I'm probably not going to do it. They're like, no, no, you should do it. We're like, we'll all do it together. So I was like, okay. Came out top of the class, got one of the highest scores on the test that you can get. Came second in the run-in test that we did as well, rolling out hose. And then turned up to the Cardiff half, sent a picture in the group chat being like, right, guys, where is everyone? I'm looking for you. Like, what pen are you in? Everyone was just like, oh, we're too tired. We can't do this. Like, we're still in bed. I was like,
Really?
I was like, I'm the only one that's turned up. And then I ran a 1:45 half marathon, and I'd never run a half marathon before. Didn't know training for it. My training was that 2-week course.
Jesus, that is a very respectable time as well.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So how did this lead on to your the 12 legs?
Oh yeah, sorry, got distracted. I just love telling that story.
That's fine. I'm engrossed in it anyway. I'm enjoying it.
So then I was in the fire service, and my training then looked like, what can I do to be a better firefighter? That was all I was thinking about. How can I serve my community better? So I was training in fire kit. I was training to do like a marathon in fire kit, because I was like, that's great. Like, you've got to be fit to do this. And that shows like real mental resilience. The fire kit weighs about 40 kilos. So to do a marathon in it, like, insane. So I was training for that, and I was just doing it back and forth on the yard. So the longest training run I did was 17K back and forth along a 20 meter stretch. So like, that's just mind numbing in itself. And all of my training sort of reflected that. I could just turn up. I did an ultra marathon that year without training. 2 weeks before that, I did a strongman competition where I hit a PB deadlift of 200 kilos. So I was just in that mentality of, I need to be good at everything, because you never know what's going to happen in the fire service. You might need to lift something off someone. You might need to pick something up. Like, if there's a car accident, you've cut the car up, you need to be able, strong enough to lift that. But also, there might be a grass fire. You might be up the mountain for 4 hours hitting, like, with grass fires, you basically get a floppy shovel. That's how we describe it. It's a bit of rubber on the end of a stick, and you're hitting that fire nonstop for hours. So I'm like, you need the endurance to be able to go up there and do that. So it's such a wide variety of what you need to do. So I reflected that in my training, and I was in this really great place. And then COVID hit, so that stopped my marathon attempt in fire kit. And then after that, I got made homeless during the pandemic. So I was homeless for 6 months throughout COVID. When I did finally find a place, I snapped my ankle in half. So then I was 6 months non-weight bearing. So that was like the worst year of my life. And as you can imagine, through all of that, I developed this really severe depression. Again, I'm sure we're going to dig more into that a bit later. But to get out of that depression, I knew I needed to change something in my life. I spent the next 2 years after the ankle break not pushing myself physically or mentally. I was just ticking over. I just made myself busy, so then I didn't have to think about my life and where it was going and anything like that. I was just so busy, but just for the sake of being busy. And I was like, I need to change something. I need to do something for me. What am I missing in my life? And it was challenge. I needed that challenge. I needed something that was going to push me beyond my limits. And when I had broken my leg, I was reading a lot into stoicism, and I read a quote about Hercules, about what would have been of Hercules if he didn't have the Hydra to slay, if he didn't face the Nemean lion. What would Hercules be without those challenges? And that really played in my mind. So I did a bit of research about Hercules, and I read about his 12 labors project, which led me to create my 12 labors project. So the story of Hercules is he was set these 12 insanely hard challenges. They were meant to be impossible, to try and like catch him out. And he did them in 12 years. It took him 12 years to do the challenges. And I was like, I need to set myself 12 challenges like that. And the more I thought about it, the more I dug into the philosophy behind Hercules and the 12 labors and the story. And the story is basically a way of saying, these are the qualities you need to improve in your life and the challenges you need to face. It could be overcoming your ego, taming your desires, things like that. And at the end of it, you'll be more fitted to benefit the world around you. And that is the story of it. And I was like, that is exactly my philosophy of life. So this, it just, it all came together. I was like, this is the perfect sort of, I want to say it's like marketing, but it's marketing to myself to make myself believe in it. And I was like, this is my reason. This is my purpose. I need to do these 12 really hard things. And because I was so used to being able to do stuff, the first thing I tried to do was the Welsh 3000s, the 15 tallest mountains in Wales in under 24 hours. Because my mate had done it before, and I went to do it and I failed, and I'd never failed anything before. And that struck hard, and I was like, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I can't do this. Maybe I'm not good enough anymore. Maybe I've missed my chance. And that stuck with me for a good sort of 4 months where I didn't want to do anything again. And I was like, this isn't for me. I'm not good enough. And I almost cancelled the whole project from that. But then I was like, this is the purpose of the challenge. Is if it was going to be easy, then there'd be no point in me trying it. So I was like, I'm meant to fail on some things. So then I started from scratch. I shaved all my hair off, went completely bald. And I was like, this is symbolizing like a fresh start for me. That's where I did my first official labor. I gave myself 12 weeks to train for a 50-mile barefoot walk throughout the Brecon Beacons, which I achieved in under 24 hours, which I was quite happy with considering I slept in my car for 6 hours halfway through. And then I went back and I did the Welsh 3000s the same year. Absolutely blitzed it, did it in 17 hours. So not the fastest ever, but like for me, considering I'd failed it like not even a year prior, I was more than happy with that. And now I'm currently training for my next labor.
Which is
my, I'm going to do a marathon tire flip, which happens to be a world record.
just one of those little ones. Yeah. Those little biscuit ones you get in the back of the
car. Yeah. So it's a tractor tire. It has to weigh 100 kilos minimum. So yeah, I've got a tire now. I've been training on it. The world record for the greatest distance covered flipping a tire in 24 hours is 11 kilometers. And my goal is a marathon. So I'm essentially trying to 4 times the world record, which is going to be interesting. But even if I don't hit the marathon in that time, because the world record is just like an added bonus for me, it's not what I signed up to do originally. I signed up in my head to do the marathon. So I'm going to keep going until I've hit a marathon. Now that might take me 2 days. That doesn't bother me. I'm going to keep going until I've hit a marathon. Cause that's the labor. The labor isn't go as far as you need to get a world record. It is keep going until you've hit a marathon.
That's going to be an epic challenge. Like that's going to be insane. 100 kilos. How high is the tire? Have you measured it?
It's about 1.3 meters tall.
So
it comes up about like lower chest for me.
So you're talking 130 odd flips then for a mile, is it? No, hang on. 1.3 meters. There's 1600 meters. Oh no, sorry. 1300 per mile.
I'm not sure what it is per mile, but roughly I figured it out to be to hit the marathon I've rounded it up to 24,000, so I have to do about 1,000 an hour.
Wow. It sounds mad. We used to have a 50 kilo tire in the gym and I could barely lift that up, so you're doing 100 kilos.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And what I love about your story is it's a powerful why behind what you're doing, and it just highlights how important challenges are in people's lives. And, you know, okay, it may not be a challenge. You may not have to climb Mount Everest. It's goal setting. It's a reason. It's the thing that drives people forwards. We are creatures of aim. And when you lack that, when life suffocates us, like you were when you became so busy and you said you needed to do something for yourself because you weren't doing anything for you, when people lack that, it can be a cascade for all sorts of problems, including depression. And there's only four things we need as humans, but mostly men, and I feel I can speak for men, but there's only four things we need to sort of maintain a healthy well-being, and that is purpose, progression, autonomy, and belonging. You have to have that purpose of the why of what you're doing thing, and I think when you have a strong one, and it's in relation to other people, it's going to give you that fire in the belly. You have to have progression. You have to see movement forwards. How many times have you been at the gym and, you know, after 2 weeks you haven't got the arms like Arnold Schwarzenegger, so you give up? You know, that's why it's important to set sort of smaller goals as well, because you need to see a progression, otherwise it's unmotivating. Autonomy, you have to do it for yourself. You can't be doing things for other people, constantly being told what to do. It's so important that we do things for ourselves. And then you have to have that belonging. You have to have those people behind you, that support network as well, for that oxytocin or hormone to be released. So you said when you lost sort of that capability, in fact, when you were talking about the how bad things got at one point, I thought it's what you've been training for. All this resilience building and mental strength that you've been building are for those moments in life that hit us. Because when life hits us, and it will hit us, we need to be able to carry our own weight. We need that level of grit behind us in order to take on and overcome the challenges that life throws us. It threw you a few curveballs then. So you broke your leg, you couldn't move, you lost the autonomy, then you lost the progression and the purpose, and it sent you down into a deep spiral. Would you mind elaborating on sort of how deep it got?
Yeah. So at first, like you said, I had trained for this. This is like when I became homeless, one thing that I did think is, I'm glad it's me and not someone else, because I know people that would not be able to cope with this. As sort of egotistical as that sounds, like, I know that there are people that haven't pushed themselves and really challenged themselves and been through those like dark places internally. And I knew that I had. So, yeah, I was hitting rough patches, but mostly I felt okay during that. And I pushed through and I was working, so I still had that purpose behind me. I was still serving my community. And then when I finally found somewhere to live, and the restrictions were easing up a bit, I'd found, like I said, my place to live, and the fire service were like, right, you've had a really rough 6 months. Take a week off, go do something for you, and then come back and we'll get going again. So I was like, wicked. Took a week off, went on a rock climbing trip, and I took a nasty fall and I snapped my ankle in half, like literally snapped it in half. The ankle Ouch. Specialist had said that he sees someone break their talus bone, the bone that I broke, once a year. He's been doing it for 25 years. He sees an injury like that once a year. And he said he has never seen anyone snap that bone in half before. So I was like, I do not do things in halves. This is a testament to my personality. And straight away, like the day that I got out of hospital, I was doing push-ups, I was doing pull-ups. I was like, I'm going to keep training through this because this is what I trained for. And having the cast on my leg, it was that crutch mentally of being like, yeah, I'm still doing push-ups and pull-ups. I'm tying resistance bands to the cast and doing leg extensions. Like, I'm still tough and resilient. You sort of lean on it a bit, and it's like, yeah, I can't do everything because I've got this very visible thing wrong with me. After 6 months goes by, still feeling pretty good, as well as you can, really. and I'd done 1,000 pull-ups in a day just for a bit of a laugh. I did three pull-ups on the minute every minute for 6 hours with no breaks in between, just because I was like, I want to challenge myself. And then as soon as that cast came off and the doctors signed me off to like go back to living and doing everything normally, they were like, yeah, we recommend couch to 5K. And I was like, couch to 5K? I've done ultra marathons without training. Like, what's couch to 5K going to be? And I got humbled on the first run. Like, I couldn't run 200 meters without being in pain. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, I'll keep pushing. And it, like, I didn't complete couch to 5K. It was that hard for me. And that's when things really hit. And I was like, I'm not the person I used to be. I don't know if I can push through this. Physically, I'm not strong enough to be able to do the things I used to do. But from a physio and a doctor's point of view, they were like, yeah, you're good to go. So I was like, maybe that's the end of that journey. And it led me into this really dark depression, where I ended up attempting to kill myself. I tied a rope around a door, and it was more the thought of thinking, could I do it? Like, is there really nothing in my life that's making me want to live? Like, is it possible for me to do that? Like, is that what my human nature is allowing me to do? Because it takes some, like, guts almost to even attempt it. And because everything in your body screaming, no, this isn't right. You don't want to die. Like, all your survival instinct kicks in. And that had just gone. And I was like, maybe this is it. So I was like, I'm going to try just to see if I could. Like, I wasn't hoping that that it did work. I was indifferent. But I wanted to see if I could. So I tied like a rope around a door, put it around my neck, and then I just slumped down into it. And luckily, like, some adrenaline kicked in after I passed out and my body started shaking, and I managed to find my feet, and thankfully didn't end up going through with it. But that just summed up how dark it got, to the point where I couldn't see a reason in being around anymore. And everyone thinks that's like, that's the changing moment, that's where the 12 labors comes in. But no, like, that was just okay, this is bad. And that's when, like I said to you, the distractions came in. I was like, I'm just going to keep myself so busy that I don't think about it. And for the next 2 years, I was just so depressed, but I just kept myself so busy that no one could tell. Like, looking in from the outside, you wouldn't be able to tell. They're like, yeah, he's functioning, he's doing a lot, he works loads, like, he's really doing well for himself. But I wasn't. I didn't feel that way. There was nothing driving me other than the fact that I just wanted to keep my head busy. And it took a long time. Taking it to like the adventure athletes, I've been looking up they call it the call to adventure in the hero's journey. Everyone's got a call to adventure. Something big that happens that can be the start of their journey, the thing that changes their life. And that's where I sort of think, yeah, the suicide attempt was the call to adventure, but at that time I didn't answer the call. It just kept ringing in the background. And there's so many chances to answer that phone, and a lot of people will never answer that call. They won't take that step outside their comfort zone because it's the unknown, it's that big change. And sometimes it will keep ringing, but sometimes the ringing stops and you've missed that opportunity. And after 2 years, I thought I'd missed that opportunity. And I was like, I don't want to be like this anymore. And I had the thoughts again of like, could this be me, like, the end of it again? Should I just end it, or like, what should I do? And that's where I was like, no, this is the call now. This is my moment to change my life. I'm in this dark place. I don't want to be here anymore. I have to change my life. No one's going to do it for me. No one's going to come around and be like, here's the answers. I have to find them out. And I'd been thinking about those quotes of Hercules about the challenges and where would he be without them. And I'm like, that's it. I need that challenge. And that's then led me to where I am now. And the amount that I've accomplished in this past year alone, like, makes me so thankful that I did fail that attempt.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that as well, Will. It was that was quite a deep story, you know? And I think it highlights the absolute importance of what you, people like you, myself, and the other people in the industry are trying to do by encouraging people to take on challenges, to add purpose to their lives, because it highlights where this can go. It's so integral to us as human beings, this reason, this why we do things. And yeah, that was, you know, sometimes people, what does it take to make a change in our lives? And I say this sometimes, I say it is suffering. I think you have to suffer sometimes. If you don't suffer enough, I think people are quite willing to put up with stuff for their whole lives. The more you suffer, the quicker you get to that point where you say, no more. Absolutely no more. I'm taking a stand. I'm changing my life. And rightfully said, as you said, no one's coming. The world doesn't owe you anything. No one is coming to help you, save you, guide you. It's all on you. And I think the quicker people can get to that realization without, you know, taking a bad turn, the better. And it's people like yourself who are carrying that torch, who are carrying that beacon, and showing people the way. You know, you should be immensely proud that you've shared the story, but you've turned it around. And now you are being that beacon of light for people. Yeah. You know, you said you've had the messages. You've had the messages of people. These podcasts have changed their lives. These podcasts have changed the way they think about the world. So good for you, man. I mean, how did the experience shape your perspective on life and your approach to challenges?
More than anything, it's made me realize that there's essentially two motivations to change. There's the wanting to be better, having that perfect picture. Who do I want to be? What do I want my life to look like? And that could be anything. It doesn't have to be like what I'm doing, going for these insane challenges and pushing myself to the limits. It could just be like, I want this much time for myself and my family time that I don't want to be working constantly. Or it could be, I don't enjoy this job. There's no purpose behind it. I want to find something better. And that can work for some people. But I feel like for more people, the even stronger motivation is, what don't I want my life to look like? And for most people to realize that, it is going through that difficult time and having that challenge in their life. Now, if you're not going to challenge yourself, life will challenge you. That, like, I've learned that the hard way. Like, life, no matter what, life is going to challenge you. So you either challenge yourself to prepare for it, or you just have to deal with it when it comes. But either way, you're going to have struggles in your life. Everyone is. No one's special in that regard. And I feel like that one's the stronger motivator, but it's about what I'm trying to do with my podcast, especially, and talking to these people that are coming on my podcast. And a lot of them have been to that dark side of life, like in a very extreme way, which is why they're now on the other extreme of the spectrum. It's trying to get people to realize that you don't have to go there to make that change and to challenge yourself. You can just look and be like, this is the path my life's going down. I don't like that. That's not what I intend it to be. And they need to then have some intent about changing that. There has to be that, this is exactly where I want to be, or this is exactly where I don't want to be. So the opposite of that is this. That's what I'm now going to do. How can I get there? Because so many people, and I've seen this firsthand, I've been there, they're just ticking over. They don't have a clear goal in what they want to do. So like you're saying with these challenges, it does set you a goal, And once you've overcome that and you've seen the benefits from it, you can then have a clearer idea of, right, I don't want to do that, but I do want to do this. And that seems hard, but it's more achievable because I know I can deal with hard situations, if that makes sense.
Exactly. I was listening to you talking about, so you're saying to have a clear vision of both what you want to achieve and be and what you don't want to be. And have you heard of the experiment they did with rats down a tube, and they put cheese at the end, and they saw how far the, it was on a spring, wasn't it? Or something like that. They could saw how hard the rat pulled on the spring to get to the cheese.
Yeah.
And then they tried it. They removed the cheese and they put the scent of a cat behind it. And they measured that again. And then they put both a cheese and the scent of a cat, and it pulled like double or three times more than with a single thing. So it's proven in science. I mean, how did you, because obviously we're saying challenge, you know, if you're struggling mentally, like badly, don't go and do a challenge, you know, if it's got to that point, you need to perhaps seek professional help at that point. Did you seek professional help? And if so, sort of, what were the benefits and what did you undertake?
Yeah, so I'm actually undiagnosed bipolar. I started going to therapy when I was 18 because I was really struggling with my mental health then. And I was getting tested for bipolar. I did some research into it, and I didn't like the idea of having that label put against me. So against my therapist's recommendations, I withdrew myself from the testing because I was self-admitted. He was highly against that idea, but I was like, no, I can do this. I'll just deal with it myself. So throughout the course of the past 10 years, I've probably been in and out of therapy about five different times. When I did, just before I did start the 12 labors, I did seek therapy through the help of the fire service. So I had some therapy through them. There's only a limited amount of sessions they can give you because the fire service is this really big organization. So they've got like hundreds of people to cater for, all going through really difficult jobs, and some of the things that you see in the fire service can be quite traumatizing. So they've got a big load on. So I went through that. That helped me for a little while. That got me started with my 12 labors. And then towards the end of towards the end of December last year, I then was, despite having pushed myself and done the first two labors and stuff, I still was struggling mentally. So I reached out to Big Moose in Cardiff, who I'm fundraising for, to get help. They give you free therapy for anyone that needs it. And they get back to you like within 24 hours of your initial contact with them. And then within a week, I was seeing a therapist. So they do this incredible service. So yeah, I went through help with them, and that's really what's got me on this sort of path of vulnerability and sharing my story and seeing the benefit that even just sharing the story can give others.
Oh, absolutely. I think sometimes people can think they're on their own, they're sort of isolated, that no one's experiencing what I'm experiencing. I think when you can hear that other people experiencing too, that can help a lot in itself.
Yeah.
I mean, for someone that's never been through therapy, can you explain to me sort of how it works? I mean, I have pictures of you lying on a chaise longue, talking about all sorts. How does it work? What are they helping you to achieve, and how are they doing that?
So every therapist and every type of therapy takes you through it differently. A lot of the therapy I went through when I was younger didn't click with me at all. Like the first one that you were saying, that was like similar to the first sort of therapy I went to. They sat you down in a sofa, you could get in any comfortable position, they would talk to you, they'd ask you like really personal questions, but then they would be like, as you can imagine, like you see on TV, they're sat there with a notepad just taking notes, taking everything you say like completely seriously. There's no sort of human connection to it. It's just sit down, I ask you a question, you answer that question. I'll ask you another question leading on from what your answer was. And that didn't click with me. I kept trying to make a joke of it because I was very uncomfortable sharing any information about myself. So I just made it into one big joke, and where they're like, oh, so tell me how that made you feel. And I'm like, no, I was joking. So it is like therapy only works if you find the right therapist for you. So the last one I had, it was all virtually. So I was sat exactly where I am now, talking to him on a screen like we're doing. And it was a bit of a chat, and he'd get to know me a bit. He'd share some stories that he's had. And then he would try and dig into why I felt certain ways and what I'm doing to change that. And one thing that we spoke about was that I keep myself insanely busy. Now it's for better reasons than it was before. Like, I'm just insanely busy because I've got all this ambition and I really want to make a difference in the world. And he was just saying, you need some stuff for you still. Like, although you're getting great joy and fulfillment out of this, like, you need to take a moment to really reflect on what's going on in your life and how you can better improve your life to help others even more. And I'm like, yeah, I know, it's just finding the time for it. And we spoke about when I go running, I always run past benches and I'm always like, I wonder why that bench is there. And like, we just spoke about it randomly because I was doing a running challenge and I was like, I ran past this bench today and it was, it's got one of those memorial plaques on it. And I was like, I wonder what that person would like go up there and think about. And he was like, well, next time you run past it, why don't you just sit there and think? Like, take that time out for yourself. I'm like, no, I got running to do. Like, I'm doing like an interval session. I can't just stop halfway through an interval session. And he was like, why not? And I was like, because that's the program. He was like, just take 5 minutes, sit on a bench, enjoy the view. Like, just have a think, reflect on what you're doing. And next time I went out on a run, like, this was probably like a month later, so I didn't even really think about it. I was out on this run and I came up to this bench and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna sit here. And I just sat down and I was looking over the view, and like, the run was really hard up until that point. It was all uphill and I was struggling. I didn't want to go out for a run that day. I was in a mood and I sat down and I just enjoyed the view. And then afterwards, I just had this fire inside me of like, wow, that is like completely changed my view on this. Like, I'm out here, I get to spend this time in nature. Like, some people will never get to come up here. Some people will never see this view. Some people don't even get to go for walks. I was like, I'm so fortunate to be able to do this. And then, yeah, like that, that's just a great example of what I got out of therapy. Just little things like that, that just switch your perspective, that you can do in 5 minutes throughout your day.
Do you know what? That is a cracking metaphor for mental resilience in itself. I think too many people get confused with mental strength and mental resilience. Mental strength is dealing with the issue, the here and the now, and being strong enough to power through. But it's the mental resilience is your bounce back ability to be able to turn up tomorrow and do it again. And your story is a cracking metaphor, because by taking 5 minutes to turn off that sort of fight or flight mode and go into the rest and digest mode, you've then rejuvenated yourself. And as you said, you came back with a fire, coming back stronger. And I think that is, as I say, a cracking example of how mental resilience works. If you want to be mentally resilient, it's all good going gung-ho towards a challenge and an aim, but it's your ability to rest and be able to come back stronger. And if you're not giving yourself those sort of points of rest and digest, you're going to wear yourself down, and it's going to actually have the opposite effect of what you're trying to achieve. So I like that little story. In one therapy session, they've also improved your resilience as well.
Yeah.
How important do you feel? I mean, mental resilience is obviously seen at Rockman at the cornerstone of a happy and fulfilling life. How important do you feel mental resilience is?
Oh, it's probably the most important quality you can have as a person. Yeah, like I've shared with my story, like being in the fire service, you need to be mentally resilient. You need to show up every day despite what's happened the day before, because you're going to face a new challenge. Just because you've been through one difficult point in your life, it's not over. Like I said, like, started off homeless, then I broke my ankle, like, in the same year. That's going through both of those in 1 year, which just pretty much wrote off a whole year of my life. Like, you need to be able to push through that. And then coming back and being like, yeah, I've done these challenges and I'm now in a better place, but I'm still struggling. Like, you need to have that resilience to then keep going. It doesn't get easier just because you've done a couple of hard things here and there. Like, it needs to be constant. Like David Goggins said, he almost lost his like, can't hurt me attitude, which is why he then did Never Finished, his book Never Finished. And it's like, he had done all these hard things and he thought he was like the toughest man ever, which he probably was, to be fair. And then he sort of relaxed into it a bit, and he was still doing things that most people would say is insane, like running a marathon a day and all of that. But for him, it wasn't enough. And he realized that he was starting to go a bit soft. And he was like, no, I'm going to be a wildland firefighter now.
Yeah, he's crazy. But I looked into the science of this, and it's the mid-anterior cingulate cortex parts of your brain. I memorized that. I actually sound like I know what I'm on about. But it is the part of the brain which controls your sort of ferocity at attacking challenges and problems and difficult situations. And believe it or not, just like a muscle, the more you do difficult things that you don't want to do, the bigger that part of the brain gets. The less you do, the more it atrophies as well. So you're bang on right. You have to be doing this with a regularity to maintain those levels of resilience. Because as we've said, when something comes, and it will come, you need to have those levels of grit and determination to meet it head on.
I feel like my story is really a testament to that. Because like I said before, 2018, 2019, going into 2020, really strong, resilient person in the fire service, top of the class, pushing through every challenge life threw at me. Then 2020 happened, 2 years off afterwards, 3 years written off, essentially. That was just a complete reset. Like I said, I couldn't do couch to 5K. And then I tried to do a challenge, and it's the first challenge I ever gave up on. And yeah, I probably wasn't physically in the best shape, but mentally, like, I was questioning myself that whole time. And you'd think that, like, I've had people say this where they're like, you're so mentally resilient. Like, how did that phase of your life even happen? How did you get to the point where you want to kill yourself? And I'm like, well, I didn't challenge myself. I didn't, like, it was just that reset. Same as going to the gym. Like, it was, my leg was probably the physical manifestation of what I was going through, because afterwards, like, I couldn't move my ankle, because if you looked at my calf muscle, like, there was literally nothing there. Like, from when I got put in the cast to when I took it off, I could fit a fist in my cast. That's how much muscle I lost. And that is like the physical manifestation of what was going on in my head, I feel.
Mm. And do you know what? It just shows how quickly life can turn like that. It can turn on a dime. It can come out of nowhere. And so it's important that people aren't just sitting there waiting for these things to happen, but that are getting ready for when they happen. Looking ahead, Will, what's the future like? What's your aspirations for Adventure Athletes, the podcast, your world record attempt? What's the future look like?
Well, obviously, I've got the world record attempt this year.
What date? What's the date of that, sorry?
So that's going to be the August bank holiday. So I think it's like the 26th of August. And then 2 weeks after that, I'm doing an ultra marathon. So yeah, that'll be a laugh.
You are a glutton for punishment.
I'm actually training for these things, though. So they should go fine. I should be all right, because I don't usually train for stuff. So I've got a coach and everything. Who thought that I would need a coach? My people.
Oh, you know, some good advice in there, isn't it? You're actually planning for one of the biggest physical and mental challenges that you're ever going to face in your life. Fantastic. That's good. That's good to know. I like that.
Yeah. So I've got that going on. I've still got my 12 Labours project going on in the background. So yeah, some exclusive ones that I haven't mentioned yet. I'm not a strong swimmer. I wanted to do an Ironman, and Bob Thomas was like, no, that's not good enough when he came on my podcast. So he just goes to me, he was like, why don't you do an ice mile? Like swimming in ice for a mile. So I was like, right, there we go. Like he's planted that seed. I'm like, oh, got to do it now. So that's going to be one of them. I was
with wetsuit.
Probably a wetsuit.
Don't ask Bob Thomas whether you should wear a wetsuit, because I know what the answer is.
I was meant to be doing one of the other challenges I'd set myself was an Everest rope climb. So just up and down a 5 meter rope until I've matched the height of Everest. So I've put that one off to do the Tyre marathon instead. But that's going to be coming at some point. So yeah, you can see the level of challenges I'm giving myself, partially because of Bob Thomas as well, because 4:48 was on there and he was like, nah, scrap that. So I've just had to take that one clean off. He's like, not hard enough. So yes, yeah, so
I've just remembered. Sorry, go on, crack on.
Yeah, I've got all of that going on. Then adventure athletes, I'm trying to build the brand more. I'm taking on a few more clients at the moment because I'm seeing a lot of benefit I'm having to my clients' lives, and I want to share that as much as possible. So I'm taking on more clients than I probably should with how busy I am. I'm doing the podcast now. This is a bit controversial, but I don't know what's happening with the podcast. I'd committed to the year, weekly releases, and I'm coming up to the year now, so I'm not sure if I'm going to stop.
Well, I think you should keep going. You said yourself, like, you gave it a year to see if what happened, and I think it's had a positive reception.
Yeah.
You have to.
Going well. Yeah, it's just my goals for it are quite hefty, so I would need to hire people to help me make that happen, unless I give up like all of my training and my work and stuff, which I'm not going to do.
Well, you can't do everything. You've got to pick your regrets is a good phrase I've heard before.
Yeah. So that's where the questioning is coming in with the podcast, but yeah, I'm not sure. I might keep it going. I don't know. But to celebrate 1 year of doing the podcast, I am doing an adventure athletes meetup. So a few of the previous guests to come in. We've got some listeners come in as well, and one of my PT clients has come in. We're going to do the fan dance route, the military selection. But there's going to be a secret adventure athletes twist, which literally no one knows about other than me as of yet. So.
Yeah, well, I don't know if people should be excited or nervous about that. knowing you, Will, you're going to get like a pack of wild dogs to chase us or something like that.
Yeah, expanding on adventure athletes. Then, like I mentioned to you, I do want to make it bigger. I want to do races. I've got three really cool race ideas, which I'm not going to announce because knowing me, I've got too much on and probably can't make them happen as soon as I want. But oh, if I do make them happen, they are going to be incredible. Something completely different. And then I want to do a virtual series. So I actually want to talk to you off air about that to get some advice.
Yeah, no worries.
But yeah, I got some really big goals there for it all. So
cracking. But I almost forgot, Will. I've got questions from the Rockman podcast listeners.
Oh, incredible!
So we'll do some sort of quick fire questions now.
Okay.
So Jenks88, I'm sure you'll be well aware of who that is. He's asked, who is your biggest inspiration? Now, obviously, you can't mention me because I'm here. But like, other than me, who is your biggest inspiration?
Oh, this is really hard because, like I've been saying, this past year, I've had some absolutely phenomenal people, yourself included, on my podcast. And every single one of them has changed my perspective in some way. and really built on me as a person. And then equally as hard, I've got pictures round my bedroom door of people that I aspired to be like. And this started before my depression and everything. So this was like 2019. I've had these pictures up since. I've got like Ross Edgley. I've got David Goggins. I've got Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. I've got Courtney DeWalter, incredible runner. I've got, just a wide variety of people. Colin O'Brady, first person to cross the landmass of Antarctica, like completely unaided. So I don't think there's a single person I could pin it down to being my biggest inspiration. Just all the, like, it used to be all the people that I idolized and wanted to be more like. But since then, it's all the people that I'm meeting and impacting my life. So Mike himself, he's changed my life massively. He's come on my podcast. He joined me for the last day of my 496. He's really teaching me a lot about vulnerability. So he's helping me along the journey I'm on as well. So there's just so many people I could pick.
Oh, there we are. Jenks 88, or who's Will's biggest inspiration is you. There we are. He'll like that. He'll like that. We got Three Fan Boswell. I guess that's Nathan Boswell. What is your purpose in life and why does that matter? I guess we've spoken about that in depth in the podcast, but a quick answer for Nathan?
Being strong to be useful is obviously a big driving factor for me, but I feel like I've gone beyond that. Like, that time of my life is almost over. Like, I'm not like done being strong to be useful, but having that as the driving force is over, and now it is purely about helping people create the change in their life that I've been through. So that's why I coach gymnastics, because I'm trying to be that positive influence to the next generation. That's why I run my podcast, because I want to share these stories with all of my listeners. That's why I do my PT in, because there's people with these goals and I want to help them achieve those goals. So everything I do is always based around helping others. So I guess that's a nice short answer-ish.
Yeah, brilliant answer. Brilliant answer. And we got Dog and Quack.
Okay.
That's their user handle, Dog and Quack. Any advice for successful completion of the 496 challenge? So first off, what is a 496? And then what is your advice for a successful?
So the 496 is a challenge where you run either a kilometer or a mile corresponding with the day of the month. And you're meant to do it on a month with 31 days. So then it adds up in total throughout the month. You've done 496 kilometers or miles. My first bit of advice is don't ask Bob Thomas whether you should do it in kilometers or miles, because he will dig into you if you don't choose miles, whereas I chose kilometers. So first piece of advice, don't listen to Bob, choose kilometers if you're first time doing it. Don't kill yourself. Secondly, to try and structure your runs around your day. Don't try and change your day to fit your runs. That sounds a bit weird, because you're like, surely you want to prioritize the runs, but it's okay to split the runs up. Like, there were days where I'd have to go out on three different runs. I'd do one in the morning before work, one on my lunch break, one when I get home at like 10 o'clock at night. So it's just fit it in where you can. You've got a lot more time in a day than you think. And then thirdly, just like, look after yourself as much as you can. Eat good quality food. That's something I neglected. I was living out the Tesco's reduced aisle. So I was living off cakes every day. I don't recommend that. That did not make me feel good. Have like things that's going to help you recover. High protein, lots of carbs, get some electrolytes in. Just do what you can to recover as best you can. They're brilliant. The three best I can give.
Cracking, perfect. Where can people find you, Will, if they want to follow you?
So if you want to follow along with like my PTing and my tire flip record, and I'm posting a lot of different content recently, I would follow on Instagram at The Adventure Athletes Training. If you want to follow the podcast, it's just at The Adventure Athletes. They're both Instagram, and then we've got a website, adventureathletes.co.uk.
Cracking. Thank you very much. Loved it. Cracking chat.
Yeah, I hope people get something out of this. I know I do ramble on a bit and I'm not the most clear with my thought processes, but I hope I've like kept it kind of on a reasonable track.
I thought it was brilliant and I know they're going to get some value from it, definitely. And I'll see you at the Adventure Athletes meetup day. Yes. I'll be there.
Come on.
I'll be there. It's in my diary. So, you know, when you've got kids and a wife and all this going on, the fact that it's in the diary, that's a good start. So yeah. I'm sure I'll be there. I will be there.
I'm going to convince Mike Jenks88 to come along because he was the one that commented after your podcast being like, I have to meet Terry. I want to go on a run with him. So
is he not coming?
I don't know. He hasn't said he is or he isn't yet. So I'm going to have him to come in.
Yeah, you get him along. Crack it. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much for your time, Will. And we will see you soon. Remember, this podcast is brought to you by Rockman, the ultimate running challenge platform. At Rockman, we offer free weekly running challenges inspired by the world's most infamous fitness tests to test your limits and help you build your mental resilience around your everyday life without restriction. There's no fixed schedules, there's no far-off travel, there's no extortionate entry fees. All you need is a pair of running shoes and to remember where you live. So if you're craving a different kind of challenge, or if you're suffering the strain of a lack of time and motivation, Rockman is the answer for you. You can get started right now for free by clicking the link in the show notes below.